Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, January the 28th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, got a very, very, very important topic because this topic affects everybody. And going into 2017, we're getting ready to start. Today is pretty much the last day for anybody who's wishing to join the Clarinomics program that we're rolling out tomorrow, or we're rolling out at the end of the month. Have the orientation on February the 1st. To address this particular issue, along with all of the other issues that we have been discussing the last 2 weeks. But this particular issue is this whole understanding of what I would call, and it's interesting because it has many names, but fear, you know, concern, interest, doubt, reservations, all of these are words that has the same or come from the same source. And it's very interesting because when we talk about fear, if we are honest, we all have fear. We all have some type of fear. Some people have fear of heights. Some people have fear of spiders. Some people have fear of snakes. We all have different fears. But the issue or the concern is there is something that separates the breathing from the living. See, everybody is breathing. Everybody is sucking up air. But very few people are actually actively living, or living an authentic life. And the reason that you can't live an authentic life is because of fear. See, we don't do things because we're afraid we're going to disappoint somebody. We're afraid we are not going to succeed. We're afraid of what other people are going to think. We're afraid that it's not going to work. We're afraid. Fear, my brothers, fear, my sisters, in all of its different disguises, is the primary issue that prohibits you from joining me in 2017 or changing your life or doing the most important thing, and that's changing yourself. You see, there is no battle outside of the self because nothing exists except the self. Everybody else is just a reflection of you. See, we are all just divisions of one whole. You are a microcosm of a macrocosm. So the thing that you fear, my brothers and sisters, is something that has aroused particular emotion. And this particular emotion is perceived as a threat. Now, what's interesting about fear is that fear doesn't have to be real. It just has to be imagined. In fact, imagined fear, not real, fake fear, is more dangerous than real fear. Because, see, the threat or the possibility is like insurance. Insurance is you are insuring risk. You purchase automobile insurance just in case you're purchasing because of there's a possibility. It hasn't happened. You are anticipating. It's the anticipation of the possibility that an unpleasant event, and since you are preparing for, you get what you prepare for. Since you prepare for the unthinkable happens. See, fear is dread. Now, dread is an interesting word because we fear or we dread unpleasant things, possibilities, unknown. And so when we talk about these words, my brothers and sisters, it's very important for you to understand that nothing in your life is going to happen until you can, number one, feel the fear. Everybody goes around and they say, and they don't acknowledge the fear. They act like it doesn't exist. And they're living in a pipe dream because if you climb on top of a very tall building without any type of a safety harness or safety net or anything, and you're walking out, and the reality is if you slip or you miss, you know, like these people that do these high wire acts, and if they slip and they fall, that anticipation is healthy because it's a good possibility that could take place. So people that tell you don't acknowledge, don't feel, that's the brain is smarter than that. The brain knows that there's a impending doom. If you step out in front of a Mack truck, an 18-wheeler, and that person doesn't have the opportunity to brake or see you, and to say that you're doing it because you don't have no fear, that's a totally different story. But today I want to talk to you about living in fear. You got to stop living in fear. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling fear. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging fear. But the problem is we're not replacing fear with faith. We're not replacing fear with our fantasy. We're not turning our fantasy into fact. We're not taking the fear and replacing it with a fact or replacing it with faith. And the faith, we're not asking Am I able to do this faith, what I am faithing instead of fearing? And if I'm able to do it, am I willing to do that removes this fear? And if I am willing to do it, then I am empowered to do it. And so we have to go through the process of understanding how to feel, acknowledge, and then replace fear. Because without understanding this process, my brother, you can't go forward. You're going to be paralyzed by fear. And this is not something that, you know, from a psychological perspective, and we can get into the biology of it, but I don't want to spend too much time because, again, we're going to go more in depth in 2017 because there's no way we can address this, obviously, on this hour that we have here today. But let me make sure you understand that the human body has a nervous system, and your nervous system can be divided into two parts. You have your central nervous system and you have your peripheral or your peripheral nervous system. So your CNS, your central nervous system, it constitutes all of the nerves that connects your brain and your spinal cord. Your peripheral spinal system or your peripheral nervous system, it constitutes all of the somatic nerves, somatic. All of your autoimmune systems is connected. So you got two highways or two freeways. These freeways control your fear. Now, your central nervous system is you have your brain, your midbrain, your forebrain, and your high brain. They're all connected by your central nervous system. So your brain and your spinal cord are all connected together. And your brain can be divided into three parts. Again, we talked about this before, the reptile, the paleo, and the neo. The reptile is called the hind brain. The paleo is called the midbrain. The neo is called the forebrain. All three of these brains, all sensory impulses passes through these parts of the brain. But the amygdala and the hypothalamus, now the hypothalamus, it lies right below your thalamus. Don't confuse the hypothalamus and the thalamus, because the hypothalamus and the amygdala is activated in the case of fear. And this produces tunnel vision. And that disconnects the forebrain. It disconnects the neocortex. So it is impossible. Let me say that again. It is impossible. Let me say that again. It is biologically impossible. Let me say that again. It is biologically impossible. One more time. It is biologically impossible for you to move forward when your hypothalamus and your amygdala have kicked in and they are releasing cortisone or adrenaline inside the body, and it reduces, it disconnects. You do not have reason and logic. You cannot make an intelligent decision. So we could talk all day. I could lay hands on you. I could slap all upside your head. You could foam at the mouth. You could kick. You could shout. You can scream. You can say, thank you, Jesus, all you want. And you're going to go out. You're going to do the exact same thing because you're operating in a state of fear. And the world that we live in is designed to keep you in a state of fear so that your amygdala and your hypothalamus overrides your neocortex. So you can't make a decision based upon reason and logic. You want to know why you're making bad decisions? Because you're not utilizing all of your brain. You're utilizing the reptile. And you're making reptilian. Look at your life. All of your decisions that go to the hood, everybody is all about survival. People are only concerned with one thing. I mean, when I was growing up, I had one thought. This is crazy. All up until I was 18, I had one thought, where I was going to live and what I was going to eat. That's it. I didn't think about nothing. I had no future because I didn't have nowhere to stay and I didn't have no food. So you talk about planning, you talk about a 401k, you talk about going to college, you talking about being in a relationship. Man, I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about where the hell I was going to sleep that night and what I was going to eat, what I was going to steal, how I was going to get in and out of the store without getting caught. And so you mean to tell me my first 18 years of my life was spent, my frontal lobe was never even activated because I was always in a perpetual state of fear. That's the goal. They want to keep you in that state of fear. Now, everybody is in some point. You're in some area of fear. Now the question is, my brothers and sisters, is what do we do now? Well, let's feel it. See, the problem that I had is nobody taught me how to manage my fear. So today you got to learn how to manage your fear or your fear going to manage you. Now, remember, everything I do is about cleronomics. Cleronomics is the household management of the soul. That means my mind, my will, my emotion, my imagination, my intellect is managed by me, not the government. So I don't care what Donald Trump, what laws he passed or what laws he don't pass. They're not going to institute and control my mind, my will, my imagination, my intellect. None of those things are going to be controlled by outside forces. So I have to stop living. I'm not saying don't acknowledge or feel, but stop living in it. Stop allowing it to make your decisions. So how do we do that? Number one, feel it. Brothers and sisters, let's be crystal clear and let's be real. None of this fake, self-help, psychological, Christianese mumbo-jumbo. If I ask you, I used to love this, man, go to church. Hey, brother, how you doing? Praise the Lord, brother. Jesus is on the throne. Hallelujah. God is awesome. And his fool just got evicted. That's not feeling. See, when I was in Christendom, I was taught Christianese. And they told me to fake it till you make it. But they didn't tell me, as in no self-help book will tell you, the steps of faking it till you making it. See, faking it doesn't mean not acknowledging it. It doesn't mean not feeling it. Because fear is meaning that there, that entity is already inside of you and he's already moving you to a direction or to a condition of being afraid. So fear means emotion. It means a distressing emotion. The E stands for energy, I-N-N-E-R-G. So your energy has been hijacked. So somebody went inside of your body, and your spirit, man, they tied him up. And they bound him or her, and they gagged him. And now they, it, is sitting in the seat of your soul. And it is controlling your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, intellect. That's fear. Fear is when you are seized. It's a hostile takeover. So fear, brothers, fear, sisters, means that something, someone went inside of your brain, went inside of your body. And fear means that all of a sudden the reason and logic part of your brain is under distress. It means apprehension. Fear is sudden peril. Fear, brothers, is calamity. Fear is an ambush. That means that your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect has been ambushed. And now it is using deception to try to come over or to go through. It is designed, again, it is an attempt to make you experience uneasiness caused by the possibility of something. Now, something hadn't even showed up yet, but there's a possibility of it. And so fear is designed to make the possibility real. Fear is designed to make what's possible real. Fear is designed to make what the impending doom reality. That's why you can't do fear. Fear guarantees that the impending doom will show up. Fear is designed to put you on the same frequency as the doom, the gloom, whatever you're feeling. I mean, whatever you're fearing. So if you have a fear that your husband or your wife is going to leave you, what fear does, it, you're on a different frequency. Your husband and wife, they're with you. You see them every day. But you fear they're going to leave you. So fear changes your frequency so that way your husband and your wife does leave you. Faith does the opposite. Faith says that my husband or wife might leave me. Faith says they ain't going to leave me. Faith puts you on the frequency that prevents them from leaving you because faith requires you to do things that allows that person to see the value in you so that way, again, they're drawn to you instead of away from you. So fear repels success and fear draws failure. A fear mechanism is a failure mechanism. That means that you oscillate or you vibrate in a frequency that draws the impending doom. Notice it is impending until you. Notice it is impending. Notice that the thing that you fear is not here yet. So if you got a fear of snakes, is there any snakes in your house? No. But you are impending. Now, the word impending, I-M-P-E-N-D-I-N-G, impending. This is what fear is. Fear means that, okay, I am going to take what is pending. Impending means pending. It means imminent. It ain't here yet. You get to choose whether you bring it in or not. I went to the restaurant. I called the waiter over. Waiter, can I get that chicken fried steak? The waiter goes, now what am I doing? I'm pending. I'm waiting for it. But impending simply means that is something that is pending. It's not here. Fear is something that happens while you are waiting. So in the period before the decision or the conclusion happens, there is a gap or time when you can make a decision to settle the unfinished business. So you can replace that fear with faith. But fear says this. The word pending means pendant. It means something that is unsettled. Fear means you're unsettled. That's why when you're in a state of fear, how do you feel? Like really? When you feel like you feel something, you are uneasy. You're unsettled. So fear is the pending, imminent danger of something that's happening, that's going to happen, and it makes you unsettled. So, okay, during the process, you are literally hanging on. It means you are in suspense. So fear means it's a pattern that is on a secondary or a subconscious level. So this pattern of fear is underneath your conscious reality. And again, the universe responds more quickly to fear because it is endued with emotion. Any thought that is applied with emotion comes faster than a thought that doesn't. So since fear has, again, emotion. Now remember, what is fear? It's the emotion of distress or uneasiness. So since your thought of fear is combined with the emotion of fear, it draws fear. So just like Job said, the thing that I fear the most has come upon me. So the thing that you fear the most, I put all my money on the fact that it's showing up. If it's not there yet, give it a couple of days, it'll be there. I don't know what you're thinking about right now, but whatever fear you got is coming because you're ordering it. It's pending unless you do something. See, right now, this is what I do when I feel fear. I know that it's literally hanging in the balance. This word pending comes from the word pendant. Now, a pendant is like an ornament. It's like something that you hang over your neck. So a pendant has the word pinned and ant. So pending is a pendant. It's an ornament. So when you are in a state of fear, you are hanging a ornament over your neck, basically. It's a spiritual ornament. And this ornament that you put it on, hanging over your neck, it's designed, my brothers and sisters, to pull or to draw. This is a amulet. Now, it works physically. You can go get a stone. Now, I'm not into crystals, and I'm not into all of these, you know, all of these amplifiers. So there are different stones that people put who are really into this stuff. Again, I'm not into it. I never studied it. Don't know nothing about it. Why? I don't need props. I don't need technology. I got enough disposition to draw into my life with my own brain. But some people, they use, and now I have nothing against it, though. Let me be clear. There's nothing against it. I had this one sister, man, from Louisiana that was in my group back in the day, and, man, this sister was on it. Man, she had all these amulets, and she had all of these. She could tell you what stone to get, you know, buy some sage, you know, put it over the draw, this, that, and the other. She knew what to smoke. She knew all of that stuff. And all that stuff, those are, again, amplifiers. They amplify the spirit. Or, again, those are things that repel, or those are things that limit. See, all of this stuff, that's a whole other study. You can get into it, knock yourself out. God bless you. I don't need that stuff. But guess what you do? Guess what fear is? Fear is a spiritual pendant that you put, an ornament that you put over your neck, and it hangs there. And what it does, it draws, it dangles just like an earring or just like a necklace. So that's what fear is. You're just basically hanging yourself. Fear means I'm going to put a rope around my neck, and I'm going to draw the string, and I'm going to basically hang myself. And how am I doing it? Because when I put that fear around my neck, it's an amulet. It's an elixir. It's an amplifier. It amplifies the feeling that I have. So fear, feeling fear is an amplifier. What happens if you feel faith? Same thing in reverse. This is what I do. Every time I have a thought of fear, I replace it with a thought of faith. Every time. Every time. Let me make sure you understand how powerful this is. This one thing could change your whole life. Every time. Now, you get thoughts into your brain every day, all day. This is what I do. I have a thought that says, man, you know what? I wanted brother or sister so-and-so to join my group. Look like it's not going to happen. For me, that's fear. I replace that with a thought of faith that says, I believe that God is going to touch brothers and sisters so-and-so so that way they do join my group, that they do get the funds that they need, that they are able to participate. So if I have a fear that, let me get a real one. If I have a fear in my relationship, in my current marriage, you know, there is this concern, this fear, because of our belief differences on certain things that I'm adamant. I ain't changing. My wife, she's adamant. She ain't changing. So I have this concern that could destroy my marriage, because I got science, I got biology, and I got history to prove what I'm teaching is true. She got tradition. Now, I can act in fear, and I could draw my fear that my belief and our disagreements in what we believe, our religious disagreement, could drive and destroy our marriage. Or I could operate in faith, which is what I've been doing. That's how people ask me all the time, man, how the hell y'all been married for 8 years? Because of faith. Because if I allow fear in, and now guess what? Every day fear shows up and it does this. Yo, Brother Will, I'm here again, bro. You about ready to give up the ghost? Every day, fear comes and knocks on my door. Every day. And every day, I got to make a choice. Every day, I got to make a decision that I'm not going to allow our religious differences to destroy my marriage. Every day. What happens the day that I don't make that decision? Guess what happens that day? I put on that rope. I strain myself up. I draw that fear into my life, and it destroys my marriage. So every day, I got to make a decision every day. And it does. See, this is where people mess up. People think you make a decision once and that's it. That's not how the devil works. I don't know. Well, let me rephrase that. Maybe I got different devils. Maybe all of them get different demons. But the dispositions that I deal with on this level, yeah, them suckers, they come back every day. They faithful. They're like them Jehovah's Witness people that go around, you know, every weekend knocking on your door, passing out track, trying to give you the watchtower. Yeah, they just like them suckers. Every day, they knock at your door. That's how fear works. And so what do I do? I don't act like it doesn't exist. I don't walk around like, oh, me and my wife, you know, we both agree. No. They believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And let me say that again. They teach that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I teach that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Two different things. But they sound exactly the same, don't they? Exactly. That's how the devil works. The devil ain't stupid. The devil going to destroy. He's going to come in and just destroy your marriage with something that is obvious? No. He's going to come in now. He's going to be sitting right in your lap. The enemies of your, and the scripture says in the last days, the enemies in your last days will be those of your own household. That means in your own head and in your own physical house. So what do I do? Number one, most important thing, feel it. Don't act like it doesn't exist. But then once you feel the fear, override your feelings with faith. How do you do that? You replace the thought of fear with the thought of faith. Then you feel faith. See, I feel like if I think about the gap or the distance between what I believe and what my wife believes, and I think about it, it produces fear. I'm like, damn, we got a big gap between what they believe and what I believe. And if I sit here and think about it, yeah, I'll be packing my stuff and I'll be gone. So what do? I don't think about that. I think about what do we got in common, okay? Let's look at our belief systems. We both believe that there's a higher power. Okay, great. We both believe that prayer works. Great. We both believe that love conquers all. We both believe that I don't care what happens in our lives, if we truly love each other, we can override anything. If I make her number one, and if she respects me, if I make her feel like she's the only woman on earth, no female holds a candle to her. If I do that every day, we're good. And if she makes me feel like what I bring to the table is of value in and of worth, and if she can look at me with respect, because nowhere in the Bible does it tell the woman to love the man. It tells the woman to respect the man. And nowhere in the Bible does it tell the man to respect the woman. It tells the man to love the woman. Enemy knows. So the enemy works on my love for her, and he works on her respect for me. That's the only way you can destroy a relationship. The only way. And so I cannot allow fear of that to come into my brain. If I do, I can kiss the baby goodbye, because why? My emotion's going to amplify it, and it's going to bring it into my life. So I feel it. How do I feel it? I feel it by acknowledging. I say it. There's a white elephant in the room. Big white albino elephant. And nobody talking about it. No, that's not me. That's not goes on in my house. My wife comes in the room. That elephant is sitting in the corner. I said, we're going to talk about the elephant today. Sometimes she will say, no, honey, not today. I'm just going to feel like talking about the elephant. But you know he's there, right? Yes, honey, I know he's there. Okay, because you know we don't address it. And you come home and my shit is gone. You know what happened, right? Yes, I know what happened. Oh, okay, I'm just making sure. Because I'm not going to live in this kind of environment. Now, I don't know how y'all run your house. That's how I run my house. I don't allow shitness to go on. Because the longer you let it go on without it being addressed, the more energy and the bigger that demon get. And when you do decide to attack it, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Feel that fear and address that fear. The way you address it is, that's number two, acknowledge it. Acknowledging fear means that you're addressing the fear. So instead of putting that pendant around your neck and wearing it, now remember, it is an amplifier. That's what a pendant is. It's an amplifier. Now, I'm no musician. But I do know that an amplifier, it increases the sound or the frequency. Let me say that again. It increases the sound or the frequency. Everything is sound. Everything is frequency. So you're increasing your fear so that way it happens faster. So the way that you acknowledge something, the word acknowledge means I admit that it is, I recognize that it exists. You mean to tell me, you know, and this blows me away, man. I've talked to couples and the husband is doing something that he knows wrong. The wife is allowing the husband to do this thing that she knows wrong. She doesn't like it. He knows she don't like it, but he don't stop doing it. And she don't talk about it. So the husband goes out every night, and you don't like it. Nope, I don't like it. So did you tell him I don't? Yes, I told him I don't like it. What did he do? He said he don't care. He's going to go out anyway. So what you going to do? Well, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to let him go out every night. So, when he left, if I was you, when he came back home, my shitness would be gone. He'd be there by himself. See, women, you enable men. And men, you disrespect women. Brothers, if your woman tells you, honey, I don't like when you do blank, you need to sit down and talk about it. Now, my wife doesn't like when I do late shows. Now, back in the day, like Brother Roman, Brother Dana, some of my other brothers in the old, maybe Sister Tammy, who you remember in the Eagle Club, I used to do meetings. We would do meetings at 9 p.m. at night. Instead of my black behind being in bed with my wife, I was up doing a group meeting. And one of the things, when I left and I came back and we sit down and talk, she said, well, I don't really like, well, you never told me. Now, I already knew. She had to tell me. But because she didn't say nothing, I kept doing it. But deep down in my heart, I know my wife did not want me talking to 20 strangers in my bedroom at night instead of lying in bed, because she has to get up a lot earlier than me. Instead of spending in that time with my now I don't do no shows at no 9 o'clock at night, especially no one-on-ones. And going further into 2017, I'm restricting my lateness and my time different. I used to answer emails all the time. I respond. I think it was Brother, I was talking with Brother Jay J Money. And I have mad respect for the brother because the brother texted me some serious questions, and I texted him, hey, I'm out with my family. You know what his response, man? Brother, enjoy your family, man. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But then I get some people, they go off. What do you mean you can't email me back, man? Dude, don't you know it's freaking Christmas Day, 10 o'clock, and you emailing me? Don't you think I got a family too? So acknowledge, brothers. Acknowledge, sisters. We have to acknowledge. Because if we don't acknowledge what's going on, then we can't replace it. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging your fears. People act like they have to ignore their fears. It doesn't go away. Now, the scripture talks about resist the devil and he will flee. The way that you resist the devil is by acknowledging that the devil has no power over your feelings, over your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, your intellect. He has no power over your feelings unless you give it to him. And the way that you give him your power, my brother, and the way that you give him your power, my sister, is by not acknowledging it. So the way that we move forward, that's what today's show is all about. Everybody's paralyzed, myself included. Do you guys really think that, like, I just be doing these shows to address you guys? Like, every show I do has nothing to do with you. I know that you think so. People think, man, I feel sorry for some people. Because some people honestly think that I take what we talk about either during our one-on-ones or in our conversation or because of what I know from talking with you, and I formulate my blog talk shows, my books around your life. I wish that was the case because then that means that my life would be perfect and there was nothing wrong with me. Like I tell you guys and gals on every show that I do is because of what God is addressing in my life. It has nothing to do with nobody listening to this call, nothing. I'm just sorry because I guarantee you today I will get an email from somebody upset because they say that, hey, dog, I didn't appreciate the fact that, man, you took, you know, what I'm going through, and, you know, I don't even know that's what you're going through, man. I wish I was that. Y'all give me more power than I got. I wish I was psychic. I wish I could read y'all minds and come up here and do shows. I'd be a bad dude, but I'm not. I'm going through stuff right now. I got to make some serious decisions in my life, and I'm scared. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm scared. I made mistakes before, but I ain't running. Not no more. Hell no. I used to say, I'm taking notice. Now, this is acknowledged. It means that I'm going to express recognition. I am going to take notice that this is a possibility, this impending doom. But I'm not going to take that pendant. I'm not going to put it around my neck. I'm not going to pull the string. I'm not going to hang myself. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to acknowledge. I'm going to feel the fear. Like, okay, this, what's going on, me and my wife's disagreements on our religious beliefs. She's strict, staunch apostolic faith. I don't know if you guys know anything about the apostolic faith. yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. Now, y'all know I was licensed and ordained minister for 10 years. Now, y'all all know I was raised in the church. Y'all know everybody, I was raised in a sanctified holiness church where the women, you couldn't even show your throat or your ankle. And them mothers in the church, in the old sanctified churches, man, fall asleep if you want to. You're going to get slapped upside the head. Them mothers, they didn't pray. And if you had to go to the restroom, you better tie a knot in it. Nobody walking while the word is going forth. I was raised, everybody in my family, man, was raised in that church, in that crowd. I know all about that, man. Been there, done it already. That is stifling oppression. So do you honestly think, at almost 60 years old, I'm going to go back to that box? That's not happening. So I'm at this place of spiritual freedom, and my wife isn't. Now, I knew this when I married her. This ain't like rocket science. But that was a choice and a decision that I made. Now, I've grown since the last 8 years. So now that I'm at this place, like I've said before, I'm doing today's show because of the place and the decision I'm in. Today's show has nothing to do with nobody listening to today's show. I do these shows because this is what God is dealing with me. God is telling me, you got too much fear in your body. And I was like, God, you got the wrong dude, homie. I don't do fear. In fact, anytime I feel something, I do it. If something in my brain, and this is the reckless part of me, that I'm, y'all got to pray for me, like for real. Because when somebody, if somebody challenges me, that it's not really good. That's why I stopped doing debates. Because I end up in jail or in prison. Because my brain is like a pit bull. When it latches on to stuff, I don't know how to stop. So I don't allow myself to latch on to stuff that's just, you know, love and hip-hop crap, drama. I only latch on to truth. I'm going to die for that. So when fear comes into my brain, it's a challenge. It's like, so the devil is telling me that I can't make X amount of dollars or I can't lose X amount of weight. Or remember when I left and I told you guys, I didn't even tell you in my meeting. And I'm not up here bragging because I'm some kind of a guru or nothing. I just, this part of my brain is a little, I'm just a little off. Y'all really need to pray for me. Because when I left my wife and she moved a new dude in, y'all know the story. I came back and I told her and I told everybody in my group. The family that was, I came to, it was 30 people. They was having a barbecue. Old boy was in the house, sleeping in my bed, eating out of my dishes. My wife moved on and said, basically, nigga, I filed for divorce. Our marriage is over. And like I told my group, I don't think so. I resolved that day that I would be back in my house with my wife, even though my wife and 30 of her relatives, a couple of them with guns, standing at the door saying, we don't like you. We never did like you. To this day, they don't like me. But what am I saying, brothers? What am I saying, sisters? I'm talking about universal spiritual law. None of them suckers understand universal law. I do. I don't make threats. I don't do idle chatter. I find the frequency of love. I find the frequency of joy. I find the frequency of peace. I find the frequency of gentleness, meekness, self-control. Why? Against such things, there is no law. You override lesser laws with higher law. Let me make sure you understand how to place fear, brother. Let me make sure you understand how you replace fear, sister, because see, many people are playing church. Now, I know for a fact, because I was preaching it, man, for 10 freaking years. I know that religion is oppressive, and I know that it oppresses women. There is no men, I mean no women preachers in the apostolic faith, very few, at least not in the. So I know how they treat women. I've been there in the leadership women where they got the women walking around on servants, bringing them water, treating them like they're some kind of freaking slaves. So I know them women know that. I see it. You ever go to the church and look at the women, how they look. Now look at the men, all the brothers. Then look at the pulpit. They sit up there in the big chair. You know when I start my church, which there's not going to be a church, you know where my chair is going to be at? In the back. The freaking last row. I refuse. Ain't no freaking leadership should sit in the front. The freaking widows and the orphans should sit in the front. These men walking around with all these freaking robes on, all this attire on, freaking make me sick to my stomach. Because that is oppressive. And how does possession take place? In case you forgot, let me remind you. Oppression, depression, recession, possession. Go to any church in America, any church, you will find the devil there, sitting on the front row in the freaking pulpit, because I used to be one. I'm not talking about no theory. I'm not talking about somebody read up no freaking book. I'm talking about this is what I did to my own wife. I was married to her for 25 freaking years, treating her like trash. Because I was young, dumb, and stupid. If you married to some religious nut, you need to get up out of there yesterday. Because it's sad. Because that is all oppression. That's how the devil get in. So when I see fear, I run towards fear now. I don't run away from it. Sometimes, like you guys know, I order fear. I did it in my marriage. And I probably shouldn't have done that. But that's just the way that I'm wired. So when the devil shows up, the devil don't go. He don't have to show up. I go looking for him. I'm up this morning. Guess what I did this morning? We're looking for the devil. Why? I'm trying to tear his shitness down. Why? He's trying to tear mine down. This is personal for me. Everybody else is in this to make money. I'm gonna make a lot of money too. I'm not in this for no money. I'm in this to destroy evil. I'm in this to replace error with truth. Because there's a lot of people in error and they think they got the truth, just like I did. Because my mother was murdered, brothers. She was murdered, sisters. So I grew up without a mother because of religion. So yes, this is personal for me. I know y'all might be playing church, but not me. That's why I speak the way I speak, and I talk the way I talk, and I take on any reverend, Dr. Bishop, anytime, any place. That's the only time you can call me at 12 o'clock. You can call me anytime if you got some reverend, Dr. Bishop, who think he knows what he's doing. Because they have not done the research. Because they are a hireling. They're not a shepherd. And it tells you in the book of Matthew the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. That is fear-based. It has nothing to do with faith. How do you get rid of fear? You get rid of fear with radical faith. My faith is not like everybody else's. My faith is radical because it's personal. And the Bible says you can't teach nothing that you yourself have not been through. So until you can find that thing in you that's personal, you cannot override your fear. You have no power. So when the devil saw Yahushua walking and he walked into that thing and he turned over them tables, do you think they challenged him? Do you think the devil challenges Yahushua? Hell no. When they see Yahushua, the demons saw him afar off. The scripture says they saw him afar off and they said, hey, dude, hold up. Why are you here to punish us before our time? We got time left. You early. Bid us to go into those pigs. Jesus said, get up out of here, dude. That's what I do. I don't play with no devils or no demons. I don't got freaking time. And guess what? They sense my disposition. They sense my righteous indignation. They know I don't have no fear. They know I don't do fear, so there's no devil and no demons going to come this way. Because I'm coming their way. I'm looking for them. So I go looking for devils and demons. And unfortunately, they hide inside of different people. And those different people, I agitate them. And I agitate them because I create uneasiness inside of them. They are uneasy, and you may be one. You may be feeling a little uneasy listening to some of my shows. Why? That's that ruling disposition inside of you that's like, oh, I don't know, Doc. Doc sounds a little harsh today. I'm going to have to click off. Sounds like he might have been smoking something. That's that disposition. Because why? It's the truth. See, the truth doesn't ask, would you? You want to be free today? Nah, bruh. That's not how the truth works. The Bible says that the truth will make you. It's not going to ask. That's why I like the truth. That's why I'm a truthologist. I only do truth. I don't do theory. I don't do what might, houlda, coulda, woulda, shoulda. No. See, the truth does something. It says the truth will set. The truth will make. But let's read that one. Let me pull that up. That's John. I know it's in the book of John. What is it? John 8, 32. Let's go there. John 8, 32. Thank you, Father. John 8, 32. This is how you override your fear. So I came back after that, and I've done this, and I do this with all my life. I make a mistake. So I made a mistake. I cheated on my wife. I recognized my mistake. Failed. Okay. Even if I feel like I had a legitimate concern. But the way I handled my concern was not right. I knew it was not right. I came back to my wife and I said, hey, the way I left, what I did was not right. She said, damn sure it wasn't right. Well, I'm going to come back and do it right. Now, I'm sorry, brother. You coming back here. I don't know where you're going to go, but you're not going here. And you guys know my story. I was homeless for a while. Then guess what happened? I went to this veteran organization. Guess what they did? Gave me free money. Apartment, house, car, everything. Then I got hired by them. Then I went out on the streets of San Antonio, and 15 veterans that they have been trying to get off the street here in the city of San Antonio, I still got the news clipping when I was on the news, the video that they would have interviewed me. Anybody don't believe me, I'll send you the interview. They interviewed me on the news because I went down and I crawled through sewage places where nobody else would go, find these homeless veterans. What did I do? Put them out. Most of them guys are back on the street again. Another study for another time. But I went in and did exactly because I could relate to them, and I wasn't scared of them because I was them. These brothers and sisters, let me tell you again, the devil know your fears. The devil know that you fake. The devil know what you're doing is not real. The devil know that you don't have no power because the devil know that you're outside of your position. The devil know that you have not considered the Father. You ain't went through your life, and you have not found what you have conquered. The devil knows you better than you know yourself. So the devil knows that you're pushing something that's a feel-good product, but you don't have a purpose-based mission. The devil knows that. So the devil knows that he's going to present something to you that's going to require you to come outside your comfort zone. That's where he can attack you. So until you, my brothers and sisters, find that thing, what is it for me? I came back, I had confidence. Why did I have confidence? Because that was my wife. That dude that was living in my house, that was not his wife. Now, if I was the guy that was doing the cheating, I wouldn't have that confidence because she's not my wife. I align with universal spiritual law. Even though I violated the law, I understand that the law, again, vibrates on a total different frequency. And because I understand, I understand federal law, state law, local, municipal, city law. I know when I was a cop, local city laws are overwritten by state law. Our local ordinance is overwritten by a state statute. And state statute is overwritten by a federal mandate. So in Colorado right now, it is legal, state law legal, to say marijuana. At least use it on municipal purposes, for what I understand. But on the federal law, guess what? The DEA can still go to Colorado right now and shut them suckers down anytime they want to. Because why? It's not a federal law. Federal law overrides state law. State law overrides city law. But what's on top of federal law? Universal law. God's law. Do you know that your rights was not given to you by the Constitution? You have certain inalienable rights given to you by your creator. No federal judge can take or administer those rights. Now, they try to, but they can't. So if you don't understand, this is how the devil keeps you in fear and in bondage, because you don't understand your rights. You don't understand that you're a royal priest. You don't understand that you're a holy nation. You don't understand that you're a joint heir. You don't understand that you've been called, that you've been justified, that you've been sanctified, that you've been glorified. You don't understand that you are the offspring of God. You don't understand, because if you did, if you understood that right now, you would not have no fear in your body. You would acknowledge, you would do what I'm doing right now. You would feel the fear. Let's say you get ready to do something new, publish a book. You get ready to do your first webinar. You get ready to do your first speaking engagement. You've never done it before. You get ready to open your first business, and it's new to you, so you are uneasy. And so you have, again, fear. So you feel that fear. You say, okay, this is something new. I've never done it before. I'm going to acknowledge that this is new. But you know what? I'm going to replace that feeling and that acknowledgement. Now I'm going to feel, what have I done that's similar to that? Okay, I remember speaking in front of, maybe it was the elementary school class, at the kids' school. Take a success that you've already done in another area. Feel how you felt when you accomplished that success. Acknowledge that feeling. And use that feeling to replace the one that you feel now. Now, this is what I do. So I get nervous, and then I think about, hey, I've already done this before. And then I remember, I remember when I was a kid. I remember I was 14, and I came home, and I saw my girlfriend with another dude. And I remember that, so I use what I felt then, and now I'm a whole lot older. I'm talking about in the relationship. So I use what I did then, because that was a successful endeavor. So I reuse that success feeling to override my fear feeling. So I go through life and I find success feelings to override fear feelings. Let's say I don't have any. Then that's when I do what I call synthetic or creative experiences. Now the world calls it, you know, mind movies. They call it, you know, vision boards. They call it, you know, all of these other fancy phrases, which simply means you can imagine yourself doing blank and being successful at it. The only problem with that is the devil can imagine that too. That's why I don't really promote synthetic experiences or creative experiences. I promote authentic ones, because when you go up against an authentic demon, you're going to need an authentic experience. See, the reason that Yahushua spoke as one having authority, because he had authority, because he was in his position. Him and his father were one. Now, the word father means patar. The word patar in the Greek means generator. The word generator means frequency. That means that Jesus' mind and thoughts, I mean his head and his heart, was on the same page. So my head and my heart are on the same page. And the only way that they can be on the same page is if I don't have no fear. Because remember what fear does. It disconnects you energetically from your head and your heart, because fear activates the hypothalamus and the amygdala, and it disconnects the neocortex or the brain. So that way the reptilian brain is in charge. So that's why you have to feel the fear, you have to acknowledge the fear, and then you have to replace the fear with a faith-based feeling that reconnects the brain. Now you have whole brain thinking. Now you can move. You cannot move. You cannot move. You cannot move forward unless you reconnect your head and your heart. You cannot move forward unless you're on the same frequency. You cannot move forward. This is very important. You're going to be stifled in fear. You cannot move forward unless you find real, authentic. And if you don't have any, guess what? The next thing you can do, you can create some. Now, if I don't have no experience in an area that I'm afraid of, let's say I want to go skydiving or parachuting, and I never jumped out of a plane. So that means I got to go to YouTube and find some people who jump out of planes, and I got to watch that video about 1,000 times to develop a creative and synthetic experience of jumping out of a plane. Not going to remove it, but that's going to give me something to help replace it. Now, again, this is the secondary method to authentic experience. Because there's going to be a time when you are going to want to do something and you have no experiences by which to reference from. So if I've never ever jumped out of an airplane, I got to find something that's the next best thing. For me, it was in military boot camp. They had this thing called the A-frame. That sucker was like 8 stories high. And we had to go up there, we had to go down, and we had to rappel down it. So that was height, and it was similar. It wasn't like jumping out of no plane, but I successfully did that, so I can take that experience, and I can remember how I felt, how I froze, and how I got over my fear, and then I did it. So I can say, okay, that's similar. And along with my synthetic experiences and my creative experiences, I take my one authentic experiences, and I combine them three together, and that allows me to push past my fear and to continue to move forward. Now, brothers and sisters, again, getting past your fear is difficult, but it can be done. There are many different ways to move past your fear. I just explained to you today, this is what I do. I have a fear. And instead of just thinking about that fear, I think about the opposite of that fear. I think about my faith. And I think about all of the goodness. For example, when I was talking about my wife, instead of thinking about all of the negative things about our belief systems and how we don't agree upon the same things, I think about the positive things that we do agree upon. And I build upon those positive things, and then I talk to her at different times when the Spirit allows, when the door opens, I drop little nuggets. And then she'll say, hey baby, you know, I saw that and that you said. I mean, little stuff. My wife would never, she didn't even believe in, like, high blood pressure stuff. She just was all, I met her, she was just on pills and, you know, ate a lot of pork and just took, you know, medication. Now she don't eat pork anymore, at least not as much. Besides, is with me. Before, she never did that. Now she drinks lemon water and alkaline water. She found this water that has a high pH balance. And so before, I could have just cut it off and said, it's not working. I could have walked away. Because why? At first, she was rejecting everything that I talked about in the area of health. Now I dropped my ego. I dropped my pride. And I stopped trying to force feed her. I stopped trying to act like I'm God's gift to the planet, like I'm some Mr. Know-it-all, and I just live my life in front of her. I just went to the gym. I just ate healthy, and I just let my life speak. And that impacts my action, speaks way louder than my words. And so in a relationship, instead of you browbeating your mate, sometimes just live your life in front of them. Let them see. And so in the area, I let her see my freedom spiritually. I let her see that I'm not bound by no religious tradition. I just let her see what I'm learning, what I'm sharing, and how I'm helping other people grow spiritually. And I'm just living my life in front of her. And that overrides, and that makes her feel comfortable and allows her to start to address some of her fears. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to do the same thing with you as well. In 2017, whatever your fears is, I'm going to live a life in front of you. Although we may not be in the same city, but we are connected by the same vibe. And you're going to see that my vibe in this area is different from yours. In the area of wealth, you're going to see that the way my vibe is totally different, especially now. And you're going to sense that vibe. And that vibe is going to make you ask questions. And you're going to have some fear because now you've got to step outside of your box. And your vibe of health, your vibe of wisdom, and your vibe of relationship, and then you're going to start asking the questions. And then those questions, again, going to make you acknowledge the fact that, hey, maybe there is a better way of doing this. Let me gather some more information before I make a decision to proceed down that avenue. And once you gather that additional information, that's going to allow you to get the courage and the boldness and the dunamis power to replace your fear with your new faith. This is just another way of saying I'm replacing my fear mechanism that I talked about before, or my failure mechanism, with my success mechanism. This is the same message, just from a different angle. How to replace your failure mechanism with your success mechanism, which I talked about 2 or 3 days ago. But now we just took out our different words. I just took out the word success and put in the word faith. I just took out the word failure. You put in the word fear, but it's the same message, but it's said in a different way. That way it can affect a different audience, but it's the same message. That is spiritual therapeutics, which is that we are going to replace this low-level vibration with a higher-level vibration. That vibration is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, the lower vibrations, they don't have no power. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're doing in 2017. My brothers, my sisters, this is Dr. Will Rogers. I am Master Teacher 33. Make no doubt about it. I am comfortable in my skin. I remember, man, I was talking about changing my name. I remember I was uncomfortable because everybody was asking, hey, man, who the hell you are? Why do you call yourself Master Teacher 33? And I started thinking, yeah, you know what? Them dudes right, man. Who am I to walk around and talk about Master Teacher 33? Maybe I should change my name. And I remember I was going to change my website because I was getting all this flack from people on Facebook. Man, thank God for grace and mercy. They almost had me. Brothers and sisters, I have no idea. I can go get a regular job and quit teaching and doing everything that I'm doing right now. This is about a year ago, man. I made the decision. This is not working. All I'm telling you, there's some opposition coming your way. If they haven't game up there yet, you got some opposition coming. It's coming. Do you think the devil is going to let you turn your life into a success story? Nah. Y'all get ready. Put your big boy drawers on and your big girl panties on because opposition is coming. I'm telling you now. Feel it, acknowledge it, and then override it or replace it. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seize. Firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn want something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Huh? You're still dreaming, man.
Still dreaming.